Welcome to the fifth Supercoach Coach podcast. It's Marcus and I'm joined again by FB Donkey.
G'day Marcus, how you going, mate?
Yeah, good. We just want to explain why we weren't around on Sunday to do the show. Apologies for that. Mark had a bit of troubles at work, so we were unable to complete the show, but we're back today and we're going to talk about rucks so that we get through all four positions before the NAB Cup. And hopefully we'll get in another show on the weekend or on the Monday, just before the first lockout. Of course, the first opening round of AFL is staggered across two weekends, as it has been for a while now. So we'll try and look at the first lockout and the teams that are going to play and who's relevant that you might have to select before that first lockout. So
9 days to go, mate. Come pretty quick. We'll get into tonight's show, mate. One mid-pricer that is locked into everyone's teams, I think, is Aaron Sandilands. He scored 156 in his last NAB game, available at about 300,000. Good chance to be worth 600,000 at some point. Is he automatic lock?
I think so, mate. I think the fact that he's going to be that popular makes him sort of a play that you have to lock away, because if everybody else has him and he absolutely goes off, it's going to be hard to catch the potential number one in that pool with a firing Sandilands. So
now, the last 3 years, he's played 7 games, 12 games, 13 games. Doesn't scare you off?
Nah, not at all. Because even if he gets injured, as most ruckmen seem to do each year, we'll just move him on and he would have provided a lot of value. It's better than, you know, paying top dollar for a guy and hoping the world out of them and then just having them fail on you and get injured. So I think this year, my approach to the ruckman, I think I flagged it before in a previous show, is a bit different. I'm looking a lot more to security, and therefore the picks like Sandilands, who start off at a discounted price because they're injured, become extra attractive. And I think in the last few years, Mark, certainly the teams that have done the best have seemed to have taken advantage of those mid-price picks.
Like Marek in the past, we've seen McIntosh, there's definitely been a few of them. Now, going safe in the rucks, is that because you've been screwed so badly before?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I'd always pick like 105, 100 averager, maybe 110. And I hope that for them to manage a 115 average in the rucks, because wouldn't that be fantastic? But forget about that. Maric just killed me last year. So yeah, I'm happy to look for a more durable player. And I know we've talked down Sam Jacobs a lot in the past, Mark, but I think this will be one of the first Supercoach Coach shows where Jacobs is seen in a whole new light. So yeah, different attitude toward it. How about you, mate?
Still not sure. I think I'm just going to pick who I think is going to be the highest scorer. And I know that we've done that in the past and been screwed, but I'm a sucker for punishment. I'm just going to keep doing it. And why not? Like, I can definitely see your approach and taking some value and some safety in there. And but yeah, I think I'm just going to go for a little bit of value and who I think is going to score a lot of points. So we'll start at the expensive ruckman. Sandilands definitely a lock for both of us. Be silly not to start him.
Just before we get into that, Mark, I just want to mention two guys that we're not going to talk about that probably a few people may be thinking of or hopefully are not thinking of. And that's Marich and Nat Nui. And they've both had injury-affected preseasons. And Nick Nat, I think there's an article just coming out today about with Adam Simpson quoting that he'll have a managed season. So because of the injury risk attached to those two guys and the high price tag they both carry, we won't actually be talking about them. But anyway, go on ahead to Goldstein, Mark.
113 average 2011, 113 average in 2013. He did only average 93 in 2012. Played more than 20 games the last 4 years. He is still quite young. He is 25 this year. Plenty of improvement, you'd think, left in Goldstein. If he is the number one ruck at North Melbourne, then, and he's fit, and North Melbourne improve, you would expect him to average pretty close to the 113 he did last season. Could be the new dominant ruckman in the competition.
Yeah, again, I'm going to be, you know, as we just talked about, I'm going to be a bit cautious about these guys. So I'm not too big a fan of this pick just because he seems fully priced. He managed the same average 2 years in a row. Granted, there's opportunity for him to improve. But I think last year, at the start of the season, we talked a little bit about, or was it the year before, potential pitfalls about Goldstein, because he had been dropped through a stretch. He had been absolutely dominated by Sandilands in one game. So I don't know. For me, I sort of see him at his ceiling already. And it also worries me the fact that most teams seem to be looking toward a two-ruck setup, especially with the interchange cap. And so it worries me a little bit that Goldstein's numbers are particularly good because he pretty much plays all the time in the ruck. And he doesn't really have a backup to take away the points from him. So that's where I'm a little bit wary.
Yep, it's fair enough to be wary there, mate. You'd think that fair chance that his time on ground gets lowered a little bit. That could happen with an improving Majak Dawe or potentially Curry coming into the side. I know we talked about that last year and it didn't really happen, so I'm not sure whether that's realistic that that'll happen. I agree that he's probably fully priced, but then with those factors and those dangers coming in, you've also got improving North Melbourne, super durable and still young and developing, so he could sort of make up the difference. So, look, you're paying over $600,000, but we've done it in the past for Cox. I know that he's still really young and certainly has improved himself to be worthy of a Cox-like tag. But yeah, I think he's a pretty solid pick. And if you have the money and you just want to set and forget, try and pick that number one position, I think Goldstein's a pretty reliable choice.
I think it'd be an XVY for the people who are looking at that sort of play, and it'd be Goldstein v. Minson. So Minson's the other candidate, of course, from the Bulldogs. Last really emerged when he was playing under Rocket Eade. He was known as the dumb player, but he's just come into his own and absolutely dominated the scene last year. Do you think he's capable of keeping that up? You'd think Western Bulldogs are going to improve, and the partnership that he has with Libba is just brilliant. So, and you imagine the amount of hit out to advantages when you got Libba winning the ball for you.
I'm not sure that the Doggies will improve on what they produced in the second half of last year, because that was really good footy, and they definitely won a few games in the home stretch. So given how tight the competition will be, I'm not sure that they can actually do better than that. Minson has played for about 10 years and he's only had one time that he's averaged over 100. Super dominant last year, has shown pretty good durability in the past, so I can see that there are some upsides there. My concern is that my understanding is he missed some of the preseason with what I think is a back injury. In the NAB games, he looked like he could still dominate, so maybe that didn't affect him so much and he might be a bit rested going into the season. But the small injury concerns are enough for me to say I think I'd rather Goldstein at this point. And I think that there's other concerns with Minson. You've got Tom Campbell playing in the side, who looks like he's going to be mainly a key forward, but you've also got Ace Cordy, and there's different players that are going to be competing a little bit with him this year for time, which weren't necessarily doing that last year.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of either of these selections, because that's what I'm going to try and stay away from after, you know, really splashing cash on Marich last year. But out of the two, I think I slightly prefer Minson, actually. Just think that Goldstein's at his ceiling, whereas Minson could still potentially improve because it was his first year as a breakout, and Ruckman take a while to develop. So we've got one on each side of that fence.
Sounds like we should make a bet.
On to the next rung of players, and that's Dean Cox we're going to talk about. 107 he averaged last year, priced at 580K, so not too much cheaper than Minson and Goldstein. But a big concern with Dean Cox is, of course, first his age, and second, Nick Naitanui. What effect will he have on his scoring this year? I guess that's the main thing people are thinking about, because when Nick Nat missed some games last year, Cox really did seem to shine super coach wise.
Yeah, I think if it was Cox and Lysette doing most of the rucking and they'd ruled Nick Nat out, then Cox would be a much better selection. Super durable, which is one reason why you would definitely pick him. The last few years, you've definitely seen his average decline, though, and you could attribute that to Nick Nat taking more of the midfield time off him. I have heard that he's lost 5 kilos going into this year, so maybe with the lower rotations, he'll be playing more of the midfielder sort of role. And an improving West Coast could see him pinch some more points back, so it could balance out a little bit. Nick Nat is very uncertain in his fitness. They're still trying to protect him, and they will manage him. So I think he's a pretty safe pick. He doesn't present a lot of value, again, but pick him and lock him away. With West Coast improving, decent draw, I think he's an all right player to pick, and because of his durability as well, but I'm not confident.
I don't mind the Cox selection either, particularly this year when, you know, there seems to be quite a few doubts on you know, quite a few of the selections because of mainly the second string ruckman that most of these ruckmen are playing with. So next player that we're going to look at is Matthew Kruser, 528K, averaged 98 of 16 games, and was a love child of the show last year.
He was. He helped us out through that middle stretch a lot. He was a lifesaver for both of us.
How do you think he'll go this year, Mark? Again, the main concern with Kruser, as with most of these ruckmen, is that his backup seems to be quite strong, and that's Warnock. Warnock's one of the most effective tap ruckmen in the game, and Carlton, they need to win a few more balls in the midfield, and Warnock seems to be able to help them do that. How do you think they'll go this year? Do you think they'll go for a two-ruck setup? How do you think Cruz's points will go? Because you'd assume that number one draft pick played such a brilliant season last year that, you know, the only way is up. But, you know, is Warnock enough of a threat to sort of see it a different way?
Really tricky question. I think if you asked me this question at the start of last year, I would have said that Warnock and Cruz would both play in the team, and that didn't eventuate. I think they only played together four times last year. One of those was round 23, though, so that might be an indication that they realized that they did need both the ruckman and that was something that they were going to do going forward. I think what the point you raise about Warnock being one of the best tap ruckmen in the competition is a very valid point. Cruz is the player I'd probably most like to pick. He has got some pretty serious durability concerns, but if Warnock wasn't around, Cruiser would definitely be a must-start. I can see the natural improvement. He's way underpriced with a 97 average because he got injured in a game. I think he broke his thumb, scored 35. The game where he came back after that, he scored 42. But other than that, average significantly higher. So definitely underpriced if he was the sole ruckman. I don't think that I can pick him because of Warnock. If Warnock isn't named round one, maybe I might do a late selection of Cruz.
Really hard because I really want to pick Cruz. Even though he had those two games affected by injury, he still managed the fourth highest averaging ruck by the end of the year. So it's a very tempting selection. Anyway, on to the next player, which is Leuenberger, again in that same price range. A lot of these guys that we're going to start to look at are in that range where they've scored about 95. So Leuenberger from the Lions, Mark. You would assume, again, like Cruz, that he's only going to improve. Of course, he had a season that was affected by injury as well last year. But again, the concern, god damn you, Trent West, causing headaches, moving over from Geelong, going over to Brisbane Lions, and screwing up a otherwise very easy Supercoach selection with Longo leaving the Lions.
Is Trent West really going to play?
Well, I would have thought not, to be honest, but all this preseason talk, I think Adcock went on Fox Footy and confirmed that Lepich wants him to play. They want to play two rucks. So the reports are coming out that they want to play two rucks, so I guess Westie will be their second forward. I mean, they're lacking a forward option as well, so it makes sense to have a resting up in their forward line to provide an extra option. So it looks like they're going to go down that way, and therefore that Leuenberger might suffer a bit like Cruz and May with Warnock's influence.
Otherwise, I think that Leuenberger would be pretty easy selection. I know a lot of people expect Brisbane to struggle, which might have affected him a little bit, but you'd see that he's an improving young ruckman, and if he had sole control of that ruck, that he would average 105 this year. Should have recovered from his Achilles now. It's often if they can have a full season back and get games under their belt that the following season that they really kick into gear. One reason that I don't want to pick him is that in the grand final last year, he was in my side and he scored a 58, which is quite pathetic, really, Matthew Leuenberger, so feeling a bit negative towards him.
Round 23 wasn't very important to him, to be fair, but you said 105, Mark. I'm comfortable to say if he wasn't affected by a number two ruck and with a good preseason, he could easily beat Minson and Goldstein, average 115, I think. And his scores last year off a very limited preseason and an injury interrupted season as well show that I think he's quite capable of that. So may still be worth the risk if you think that Westie might be in and out, similar to Warnock last year, only played 10 games, seeing as it's West's first season over at the Lions. In the calculations to enter my team, to be honest, Mark.
I can definitely see the potential there. If West was named round one, I'd be pretty reluctant to pick Leuenberger, though, I think.
Yeah, I think if he's named round one, you'd pretty much just strike a line through his name, unfortunately.
Stupid coaches wanting to put these B-grade rucks in their teams and destroy our A-grade picks.
Yeah, well, Mark Blake would be upset. Maybe he'd be coming back in vogue. All right, Ben McAvoy for the Hawks is the next guy we're going to look at. Averaged 93 last year, played a full 22 games, and of course, crossed over from St Kilda. Now, we all see the high-scoring potential in Ben McAvoy. He gets quite a lot of possessions. He's a good mark and gets a decent amount of taps, although could probably stand to be a bit more effective. How do you see him going this year at the Hawks? He does have to share ruck time with probably it's going to be Hale, and I assume Ruffin won't do much rucking, but there's a lot of calls there.
I think you're pretty right there, and Segler looks to be next in line if, say, Hale got injured or something. It's a really tricky pick because I think he's at the right age to improve. He's discounted, only averaging 93 last year. He's 100-plus average ruckman, as he's shown in two seasons in the past. His average in wins is considerably higher than in losses, shown when he did average those two seasons over 100. That was when St Kilda were winning games. His average dropped significantly last year when they weren't. Hawthorn are going to win a lot more games. He will play as a forward a bit, but then in the Hawks lineup, you'd think that he'd kick a few goals as well. The Hawks do get a lot of the ball, and he almost plays a little bit like a midfielder. I think that there's heaps of reasons to pick McAvoy this season. He seems like a safe pick, priced at just over 500,000, because he did average only 93 last year, and I expect him to average 100-plus potentially this year and play most games. So I think he's a pretty good pick, and he's definitely been in my side at different times throughout the preseason.
That's the first glowing review we've got on a Rockman so far, Mark.
I don't have glowing reviews on any of these guys, man.
That sounds pretty glowing to me.
I know. I'm really, really struggling with the Rockman, though. There just seems to be a reason not to pick every single one of them. So I'm finding it really hard to work out which one is the least worst option.
Whereas Minson and Goldstein are at their ceiling, he's got to be at his basement. There's no way down for McAvoy, surely. Even with the sharing of the ruck time, even you would think that that'd be compensated by moving to a winning team. So I can understand why he's probably got the most positive rap out of all of them so far. And yeah, out of the guys we've talked about so far, he's probably one of my top two favorites at the moment. And he's made
top two. Wow.
Yeah, he's made his way.
He's probably in my top two out of the guys we've spoken about so far too.
Yeah. So I guess you may be slotting into a few of our listeners' teams, hopefully. All right. Next guy I want to talk about is Shane Mumford.
Let's not talk about this guy.
Oh, okay. All right. We've been burnt too badly.
Is no way in hell that any of us are going to be putting Shane Mumford into our team after what he did to us a couple of years ago. I know he averaged 112 his first year at Sydney, but that season after, Jesus, the pain he caused us was pretty intense. So, yeah, good luck to him.
Like McAvoy, though, he's surely at his basement. Last year, Pike really emerged, took time away from him, and he went down to a 92. If there's a year to pick him, he's gone to an expansion side. I don't know, how do you think Giles and Mumford will work? That may be an issue.
Yeah, so I guess that's the thing. I would expect both of them to play, and they're both genuine ruckmen, rather than sort of one being a ruckman forward. So if that's the case, then I think it might be quite challenging for Mumford. I think in the future, though, with if they've got Cameron, Patton and Boyd all up forward, one of those taller blokes might be jumping into the ruck a bit, and Mumford might be a better option.
Yeah, probably not for me as well, but I think if not for the fact that Giles was there, I still like Mumford. I still like Mumford, but yeah, he's not quite the gun we thought he was when he was dominating around the grounds. There was a lot more boundary throw-ups in that year where he really excelled, which they've really cut down on trying to get the game more dynamic, so that's hurt him, certainly. Patrick Ryder's next guy we're going to look at, and he's someone that I think I've got a pretty good review for, because last year he just didn't produce the results. I think statistically he'd been improving every single year prior to last year, and of course Bell Chambers, that was his best year last year, and of course Ryder's, you know, it was disappointing for him. But I think we've talked about in the past, Mark, Ryder having the potential to average even maybe 110. We've seen him, I think, average 104 in the past. So you got to think again, he's like McAvoy. He's got to be baseman priced. And the great news is Belch is out for the start of the season. So Ryder could have potentially a few huge games. And, you know, when Ryder gets huge games, he gets games in the range of 165, I think he's managed in the past. So, you know, you get on a few hot ones and all of a sudden you're reaping the benefits for the year off a play that's, you know, only cost you 90 to bring in at the start of the year. I think that he's a pretty reasonable risk to take on, and he'd be another one of my front runners to actually make it into my team. Of course, he's lost that MPP, which probably would have made him a little bit more attractive if he still had that. But yeah, I actually really like Ryder this year, Mark. I think that surely he's going to want to rebound from last year, and I think Essendon are going to do pretty well in, you know, 2014.
Sure. Now the reasons not to pick Ryder. Until 2012, super durable. Missed like 3 games in 5 years. Last 2 years, played 15 games and 17 games. That's
why
one
do
reason.
This to me?
He has averaged over 91 once in 8 years. He did average 104. In 2012, over 15 games, but every other year he's averaged below 91. Not a great start. These big men can take their time, but, I mean, Paddy's been a right wound for a while now. He's been a really good player in our side for quite a while, so no guarantees there. Bell Chambers is expected to be back before round 6. If that's the case, picking him because Bell Chambers isn't in the team doesn't really make a lot of sense, because Bell Chambers is going to be there for most of the year. You're not picking Ryder just to get through to the buyers. You're picking Ryder for the whole year. So probably do need to take that into consideration. I can see why people pick him.
You're making it hard to sell Ryder. If you're an Essendon fan and you're not into a selection.
I've just, I guess, tried to put out the negatives because I think that there are a few reasons not to pick him. And to be completely honest, I picked him in my side twice last year. Not once, twice. I had him at the start, then he got injured for a while, and then I brought him back. And what did he do? Both times, he sucked.
I know, I enjoyed rubbing it in for a little bit.
I know. And look, I can't base too much on last year. I know that the year before he averaged 104, maybe he could do that again. Little bit uncertain about what Ryder can do. Last year, his average was probably inflated a bit because he did kick the winning goal against Freo. His first NAB score was significantly inflated because he kicked the winning goal, or kicked a really late goal against the Suns, which put him in a good spot. So can understand why people are picking him. Has never been in my team.
He's probably in my top four or five to be considered, to be honest, Mark. That probably won't be surprising after we've had such a difference of opinion. But yeah, I don't see him going down. I'm pretty sure that he can at least increase his average to at least 95. Anyway, on to the next selection. Might be contentious again because I do quite like this guy and I'm not sure your views on him, Mark. But Mike Pike, and the reason I'm looking at Mike Pike is I searched through the list. I sorted it by teams and he's the only guy... The only guy at this price, apart from Jacobs, who we'll get to, who's priced cheaply and is the sole number one ruck. And, you know, with the mummy gone, with Jesse White gone, Pike will probably take 90% of the ruck time with somebody like LRT or one of their many tours to pitch in with the rest of the ruck time. So how do you see Pike? He averaged 87 in his first true breakout season. He only passed the 50-game mark last year, of course. He averaged 86 even though Mumford played 19 games last year. In the three games Mumford didn't play, I think he scored 103, 94, 92. He's going to be similar to, you know, Roughhead Hale types where they get scores in every single category. They kick goals, they take marks, they lay tackles, and they get enough possessions every game. He's not a low possession guy to score pretty well.
Kind of feel like we're playing a game here tonight, Marcus, where you say all the good stuff and I say all the bad stuff. Look, a lot of the things that you say there are good. A little bit more confident if Tippett was fit, know what their backup plan is. Like, what are Sydney going to be doing if Tippett's not playing? What is their exact ruck plans? How much of the game will Pike be playing? I think that the biggest concern for me, though, probably is that we just haven't seen a big game from him before. He did score 118 against Greater Western Sydney last year. That's not really form to be picking someone. I think what you're going to see from Pike is pretty consistent performances. If he can stay fit and play every week, then he'll probably have decent output. He'll probably increase his average maybe to the 97 sort of mark, which is the guys that we've been talking about previously. So from that perspective, he does provide some value. 466, cheap option, played 22 last year in a dominant team. There's definitely a fair few reasons why he's an okay pick. He's not going to set the world on fire, I don't think. Do you need that for your team? I'm sort of probably going to be going for as high average as I can get. But if you're willing to settle for that little bit lower, take the value. Pikey is probably a decent pick.
Okay, that's an all right admission by the end of it. Yeah, he's at his basement, 86.5 averaging. You can't go down from that getting the Sol Ruckman.
Really interesting to see what they do with, like I said, without Tippett in the side, though.
You would think, though, they're not going to have Derek X or Nankervis or whoever their backup is to come onto the field because they've got such a deep lineup. They'd think they'd just run with Pike and, you know, go with one of their many tools and slot in, you know, a Rowan instead, who's just got so much growth left in him. They've just got such a deep list across all the other positions that you'd think it'd be hard to push through one of their really just project development ruckman that they have on their lists.
So you say that they've got a lot of people competing for points, is that right?
Okay, all right. Try to sell me down a bad story here, Mark. No, look, Pikey, the main issue with him is that he doesn't seem to get as many points from his taps, and that is where I get a little bit worried because that is where he starts looking a little bit like David Hale. Even when he played as the number one ruck, we know that Hale was initially a forward from North Melbourne and, you know, he's just playing a role. He's a good role player. They're doing a good job for the team, but You know, that's not what they're born to do. Pikey, having moved over from Canada, that's not his natural thing to be tapping for hit outs to advantage. And we know how much points that has been since they've changed the rules a few years ago. So that's my worry, that he'll never step out to that status and look a little bit like Hale from, let's say, 2012. He played a really good season, could still only manage an average of about 96. So that's my worry. But you would think he's at his basement, and they have no other number one ruck in their team who even comes close to Pikey. So they'd be training him day and night, getting him at the taps nonstop. So maybe focus a little bit more on the athletic goal kicking side of his game, and focus a lot more on the tap ruckman side of his game. And hopefully with all the practice that he gets this year as the number one ruck, we see improvement throughout the year, and he ends up with an average of maybe even 100. And I think if he goes from an average of 86.5 to an average of 100, plays the full season, he'll be a very good pick.
Yep, you're probably right there. I think the fact that you're calling him Pikey, you sound a bit buddy-buddy. I reckon that might be taking him.
He's probably my top three considerations. I have to keep doing this top three, top four type thing, because they seem to parade in and out of my team, these ruckmen. I'm guessing you too, Mark. But yeah, he's certainly been...
Yeah, I've got it down to about two guys.
Two guys?
It's been two guys for a really long time. So okay. To maybe three. Two and a half.
Maybe four.
Now, the next guy is someone that has got a lot of attention elsewhere for Supercoach, and a lot of people think that he's primed for a huge year, and that is Matthew Lobby from Port Adelaide. He played 19 games last year, established himself as the number one ruck for Port Adelaide in competition with Redden and Renouf. He averaged 85 for the season. He played 12 games, I think it was, that he was the number one ruck for the side, and averaged 97 in that time. And that's where he really started getting onto people's radars. The fact that he could do so well as that number one ruck, and that he looks to be underpriced. Redden is injured going into this season. I think first 7 or 8 weeks he should be out, which means that there's a good chance Lobby will play number one ruck again. This is his last six scores of the year: 154, 100, 127, 79, 118, 105. I think it's that patch of six games that have got people really excited right at the end of the year that could be ready to tell a story of 2014, or it could just be a bit of an anomaly and six games that make him look better than he really is. And considering how good those six games were, the fact that he only averaged 97 as the sole ruckman maybe concerns me a little bit. I know a lot of people think he's a great pick for this year. Has not made my team, though.
I think we've seen in the past, you know, that finishing off strongly in a season can really be a good indication of how the players then goes, you know, the season following that. So I can understand why there's so much excitement around Lobby. But I don't know if you remember this, Mark, but I picked him a couple of seasons back as a smoky, like mid to late season or something, and then just had to carry him for the rest of the season. He may even have gotten injured or something. So I've had this guy on my team as my number one or number two ruckman before, and I have watched him last year as well. I don't know. I think there's a little bit more doubt in my eyes into whether he can turn himself into an absolute top line ruckman yet. And I also worry that even though Redden starting off injured, that essentially the major issue with these guys is that Redden, Lobby, and Renouf, of course, traded to them, but their career development's all on a similar path. So you'd think that even if he starts off as the number one, that at some stage throughout the season, somebody could come in, perform really well, and then, you know, take the role away from him as soon as he has a bad game. And we've seen that in the past with the Port Adelaide ruckman. The other worry is that, you know, when you have three ruckmen who are all around the same sort of skill level, you'd think that they may even think about going to two ruckmen then, especially as that seems to be trending in vogue this season. A bit too many concerns regarding the supporting cast at Port Adelaide that see me stray away. And I think I've been burnt in the past by picking Lobby and then having one of these, I think, Redden come through and steal the points at the end. And I'm just not in for that ride again. And we're trying to avoid these guys with a strong backup ruckman, and he potentially has two in his team. So yeah, not for me personally. But again, I can see the upside to him. He was a high draft pick, and he's got a lot of talent. So all the best to people of picking him.
Yeah, there's definitely a fair bit of risk involved, but you'd want to have a fair bit of confidence in it, because you're going to have to really stick it out with him and and back in your judgment here. So I can definitely understand why people are taking him coming up to about 50 games and 24 years of age, but yeah, just not in my consideration personally. Now, the whole show, I feel like we've been building up to this guy.
Yep. Here we go.
Not how I expected it to go.
Especially because he's the cheapest, isn't he, out of all this lot?
Carlton Discard. Is that how we describe him?
Yeah.
Sammy Jacobs, 460,000. Very unexciting footballer is how I would describe him.
Yeah.
But with that said, like if we're looking for someone that's the number one ruck at their club,
yep.
Sammy Jacobs stands out like a sore thumb.
Yep.
Because he's just in the perfect situation. He doesn't have someone competing for the number one ruck role. He's got a couple of people that will provide backup ruck support for him, but are mainly forwards. He has a history where he scored over 100. He's played 21 games and 22 in the last 2 years. Super cheap because he had an absolute stinker last year when the Crows really struggled. So maybe his form might be a bit dependent on the Crows' form. Remember, when he did average 100, they were a top four side. Look, I can see that there's definitely some reasons out there to pick him. I just like to barrack for the people in my team, and I just can't see myself doing that for Sauce.
Yeah, we have not been very enthusiastic about the guy in probably the last 3 years, and that makes it a bit harder to recommend him this year because he's just so vanilla. But I think this year, Mark, vanilla may just be what we're looking for. Vanilla looks just fantastic for me this year, and I might actually think about going with Sam Jacobs again. He's at his price basement. There's no way he's going to go down. Remember, this is the guy that people said should have taken the All-Australian Award out that year. His hit-out two advantages is just insane. Just does not get enough of it around the grounds and just hands it off every time he does. Hopefully, with the emergence of the Crows and the fact that they have quite a good starting draw, which plays to his favor, and quite a good ruck draw as well, will mean that he can improve and he can be quite a good pick. Again, like Parkey, if you're picking a guy who starts at 85 and finishes at 100 for the year and has played 22 games, you've done pretty bloody brilliantly. So, yeah, I can understand a lot of people getting on him this year, and he'd be in my top three considerations this year.
So that's eight guys in your top three, I'm thinking, I'm recalling. Look, I've been recommending for other people to pick him this year. I think he's a really good pick. Not sure I could actually put him in my side. I think he's a good pick. I don't know what else to say about Jacobs.
I think we've got quite a different approach to the Rucks this year. I can see that you're still looking for the top line talent. And
glory.
I'm
looking for glory.
If Jacobs can improve to 105 this year, which I'd be super happy with.
Ooh, 105. Yay.
I'd be so pumped if he can stay on the park and get to 105 after last year's Ruck debacle. So, yeah, I never thought I'd really encourage our listeners to go after Jacobs, but this preseason, get on Sammy Jacobs. I reckon he's a pretty good pick. And out of Jacobs, Pike, and Lobby, you would think that he's the safest to hit 100, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Comfortably.
I think Lobby's definitely the most risk out of them. He probably has the biggest upside, though, because he's shown that he can score really big. Whereas Jacobs and Pike probably have limited ceilings.
I think that probably wraps up the show because we don't have quite enough time to talk about the mid prices. But we'll do one more show where, like I mentioned before, we're going to look at the teams that are playing in the first week of the split round, of the opening round, and we'll look at the relevant selections that you have to bring in and out of your teams. And that'll include the mid prices and the rookies as well. So look out for that show. We'll be recording it either on the weekend or on Monday. So look out for that, and all the best with picking your sides.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Good luck picking your teams.